the great Sonny Rollins and his quartet with Strode Road. I love that song, that tune, I should say. It's one of the jazz standards now, and we're all the better for it. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I start off by saying thank you, thank you, thank you. Yesterday's response was very, very inspiring. And, of course, this being the fundraising week for me, this is what I'm doing this week, and squeezing in some programming as we go. But the intention is to do our part to contribute to the eventual expansion of PRN.FM and to contribute to its growth. All of that is to say we expect that PRN will soon, when it gets into the throes of expansion, it will need money. And this is a good time to begin to build that fund, and that's what I'm doing as my contribution, and it's also your contribution, and you did really well yesterday. We're going to continue tomorrow with our fundraising, but today we will get some programming done. I wanted to talk about, you know, what's going on here. In this political season, it does say something when the Real Housewives of Atlanta and the Real Housewives of some other place, I don't watch these programs, had dominated the headlines. Not what is going on or soon will be going on in terms of the political and the policymaking part of the United States. We're more concerned about the scandals. At least this is what the figures are suggesting. People are more interested, it seems, or the entertainment aspect of our daily lives is overtaking almost the day-to-day reports from major media, especially, on what is actually happening. What is the political scene looking like? So it seems as if voters this year, in this upcoming midterm election, will have a lot of homework to do to get some reasonable understanding of issues that matter to them. It seems as if this is the season of heavy distraction. And that's where people's attention is directed, toward distraction. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I feel it. I see it. And it is getting me more and more annoyed that the media, the same institution that talks about how important it is to serve as the medium of information to the public, they're serving us more and more silly stuff. So it is more important for us to know who is fighting with whom on any one of these Real Housewives episodes than what is going on in the communities. And mind you, it is not lost on me that the distraction and the entertainment, quote unquote, of these programs, almost all of them are predominantly black. They get sillier and sillier, and we are encouraged to believe that this is really what is important. This is really what is happening. This is what's getting the ratings. And therefore, since this kind of programming is getting the ratings, it will occupy more and more space. And the political issues are set aside for the serious people. They appreciate and they understand the importance of the Trump administration's policies. They will get that coverage, but not through mass media, as it were, but within the context of, well, we have our daily newspaper. The people who are going to be watching Real Housewives of Atlanta are not going to be reading the New York Times. They're not going to be reading the major dailies of the major cities that people are living in. And it does say something that at the time that so much is happening that literally is changing the political landscape, we have silliness dominating our attention, just silliness. And we are now supposed to pay attention to these kinds of programs based on the fact that they are getting higher and higher ratings. So you're supposed to feel like an idiot for casting aside these kinds of programs, because look what you're doing. You are ignoring high ranking programs. And instead you want boring stuff. But there is a segment, a pretty large segment of America that is paying attention to the boring stuff. They want to know about the boring stuff. But the mass media has an entirely different plan. You can get the boring stuff, like what's going on with inflation, what's going on with the tariff situation, what's going on with this president who is becoming more and more unstable every day, what's going on with institutions that are clearly in crisis. These are not popular items, so they park them in a different space. The popular items are the silly items. And for the most part, they concern entertainment provided by blacks. In some cases, apparently, very, very qualified blacks, professional blacks, people who are living in nice houses. They're not in the ghettos. They're wearing Gucci and Pucci and Hamaguchi. They are having soirees and they're going on overseas trips and living the good life. They are offensive. And they are the modern day step and fetchets. They're providing entertainment even as they underscore all of the pathologies that we should be over by now. We shouldn't want to return to that. We shouldn't want that at all in our lives. They're not discussing politics. They're not discussing what's happening in the school system. They're not dealing with these real issues. It's silly season. And silly season couldn't come, at least for these same populations, at a worse time. So the major media organizations are prepared to entertain these distressed communities by giving them obscene pictures of themselves the ones who have risen to the top. This is the cream of the crop, allegedly. These are doctors and highly skilled professionals making lots of money and still are stupid and preoccupied with the silliness of life. And they have justified it. I've seen some interviews with some of the participants in these programs. They justify that they're raising money, for example, just like, you know, white women in the suburbs do, for some cause or the other. But the fact is that for the most part, at a time when the nation should be about decision making and examining critical issues, we have these buffoons presented to us as legitimate examples of what ought to concern us, what is going on in our community. And I say, no, we need to re-examine that and understand that we, black and brown communities, are being shown the greatest disrespect. And it is self-inflicted. And we say nothing. We say nothing about it. So I thought I would ask you, in this environment, where you are constantly bombarded with useless information, irrelevant information, information that serves a dual purpose, to underscore pathologies and present them to these distressed communities as the thing to be involved in right now. We should want to know what is happening with person A, and women are fighting, and men are having affairs, and it's ridiculous. But there is this segment of America that continues to pay attention to its concerns. It understands that it is in control of this country. They're not qualified, for the most part, to handle the leadership of this country, but that doesn't mean anything. They're still in control. And blacks and Latinos are being involved in these elaborate productions. They're very costly. And every issue of it, as you could see, I've seen a couple of them, every installment appears to have a particular topic that they're pursuing. But overall, what they are driving home on a psychological level is that what ought to concern you, even after or even if you have, quote, achieved something in life, you still should have trivial matters preoccupy your life. And materialism preoccupy your life. Because in the end, the statement really is, even though you have, quote, achieved, deep in your heart, you know you are inadequate. You're not in the leadership of society. You're second class, or maybe even third. And we are using you to provide all kinds of wrong messages to your own folks, and you're lapping it up because you're on TV and you're getting some change, right? You're getting some money that allows you to buy nicer cars and bigger houses, even though you're sinking deeper and deeper into debt. At the same time that you are transmitting these false messages of success and achievement, you are pathetic examples of what it means to be an exemplar of a community that has a particular history that would find this to be profoundly insulting. So let's take a little break and come to your thoughts about what is going on here. How, therefore, do we get and maintain a sense of what is important to us as a group, or maybe it's no longer important? Where do we go for these messages? Who is giving us these messages of focusing on what matters to us as a people, as a society? Is this what the civil rights struggle has been all about? The right to basically sign up to be the clowns of the major media. The major media is taking care of business. Its audiences are receiving the information they need to take care of business. But instead, we have these, on the flip side of that coin, we have people who are just a damn disgrace. I could only say that. I know that it's harsh. But it seems as if they are not giving much thought, or they're buying into the myth that they are serving as examples of the accomplished, the new accomplished people. And what are they concerned about? Trivial matters, very little outside the self. They're concerned about all the things that they should be running from, fighting with each other and cussing each other out and insulting each other and being in the gutter, although they ostensibly have achieved. These are the achievers, supposedly. At some point, we have to confront this question. Not that you can compel people to behave in a particular way, but we need to sound the make a clarion call about this. This is not, these people are not representative of a community that is going anywhere or that desires to go anywhere. And we need to take a look at that. We'll do so right after this short break. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM, and we're talking about a dilemma that will soon confront us en masse, because we will have some decisions to make about what we will tolerate from major media, and whether we are aware that even if we are not in tune with the messages being sent, the messages still are being sent, and they appear to be influencing large audiences. As I noted, you know, in the political season where so many issues are being decided and being argued about, for another segment of our community, our nation, the big issue is who's going to be fighting with whom this week, even as they wear the finest clothes and drive the nicest cars and live in the most luxurious homes. But they're black, and therefore they're perfect to perfect foils for sending a wrong message and shaping or misshaping public attitudes. While on the other hand, when they deal with the larger community, they have an entirely different attitude. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Ma'at, you get us started. You're on the air.
Yes. Greetings to the beloved family.
Yeah, thank you.
It is a real problem. And I've been dealing with it on a certain level. I'm not going to go into the specifics, but it has to do with the lack of integrity. And a part of the problem is something I've been working on is a way where when that situation comes up, let's say it's somebody who's posing as a leader and someone that's just looking to liberate black people, but they're actually a trickster and a slickster. I think we need to have some type of means, and I've even come up with an acronym for it, which I'm not going to mention over the air right now, where we could come together. And sisters seem to be very important with this because there's no community circle right now. So let's say somebody is playing us and, you know, they were approached and then they say, oh, okay, I'll use this. I'll just plagiarize this wholesale. We don't have anybody. We don't have any brothers in particular who you would think that you could go to and settle the matter in the community. And so I would like to see some ideas. I don't know whether I should give out a email now or hold that at some point, but in particular, sisters, it have to be primary in that, because the brothers, you know, that we think would be the usual suspects actually turn out to be the usual suspects, and they cover up and go with the lie.
So let me ask you, are you aware of the dual impact of these programs, not just on blacks or not just on Latinos, but on everybody? The ways in which people's attitudes are being shaped by these programs or affected by these programs.
Yeah. In particular, reality TV. I mean, I was living in Canada at the time, and at a cafeteria for, debarking part. And I was just amazed by the waitress. She was just so, she couldn't even really do her job because she was just so entranced by some reality TV program. And that's what we're living now. Because, I mean, I never watched The Apprentice, but it seems to have been imported into the current leadership style, including the Republicans, such as they are.
But these are on one level, you can call them reality programs. But when we look at specific programs, we can see that they go beyond that strict definition. These are programs that are sending messages, that are giving a false, a deliberately false notion of real life. So you can't call them reality. This is the exception of a minute group of people who, for whatever reason, are either encouraged or they are scripted in one way or the other to behave in a particular way. And the producers are selecting the kinds of conflicts that they routinely are having in their daily lives as symptomatic of this new generation that has come into wealth, has come into higher office or higher employment, making good money, living in gated communities, and so forth. What do you think is on the one hand, you don't want to condemn people for having ambition and for succeeding in life. But on the other hand, do you suspect that there is a deliberate effort here to distort this reality so that people watching these programs, this is what they want, this is what they crave, because these things are the things now of the new blacks, new Latinos, new minorities, as it were?
Yeah, I think it's also called predictive programming, so that especially in this digital social media age, as it were, it's like giving people a prototype of what they should be about and aspiring for. So it's a type of it's a type of craziness. I watched some TV, but when you hear the news coverage of the Emmys, I'm not even familiar with most of what's going on in terms of watching those particular programs. But it is predictive programming. It's molding people, if you will.
Are people making too much of a fuss? Am I making too much of a fuss about this, or is this truly something that warrants further inspection? I mean, is it just taking an alarmist position when there's no such reason to worry?
Well, when I go public with my example, I think that you'll be confirmed on your end with your direction today.
Okay. Thank you for calling in and for contributing. 888-874-4888. We're talking about these programs that increasingly are getting a greater and greater profile in our day-to-day consciousness, because the world of media and entertainment suddenly has discovered gold. These are gold mines, lifting up these corrosive examples of black life and Latino life as the new way that people should live, the desires of the new black. And therefore, there should be our desires, and people are beginning now to use them as prototypes. This is what, even when they have MD degrees and they are doing, they have great jobs and they're living in sumptuous homes and whatnot, there's still pathology. It's the pathology of black life that still is bringing in the advertising bucks, the loyal viewers, and therefore big money. And you look at it, and it couldn't have happened at a more unfortunate time, because when you contrast the programming time allotted to programs like this against programming time for discussion of issues that affect these very same communities, it is alarming. So there must be some kind of a reason for this lopsided arrangement where this kind of lifestyle gets inordinate attention, lots of advertising dollars dedicated to promoting these programs, and the viewership is going through the roof. But along with that are the endorsed attitudes. The pathology is also endorsed. What do you think? What is happening here? Donald from Georgia, what do you think?
Well, I can just give you my opinion. And I'm looking at it from a political perspective. and I've been looking at it from a long time. I was a journalism graduate from University of Kentucky. What I see is that the new the owners of the media are again conditioning people's minds, and they're not only conditioning our minds here in the United States, whether black, white, or red, they're conditioning people's mind in the international world. And once they condition their minds, then these folks over here can say, for example, look and see, these blacks here, they're making it. And look how they're acting. They can show the news where there's nothing but black folks getting arrested, this, that, and other. So, in other words, they're telling the international world, see, it's not our fault. This is just the way they are. And we conditioned over here because we in such desperate shape. We want the money, and we want to see someone look like us that's successful, no matter what it is. So we'll go along with the okey-doke, too. And you take us going along with the okey-doke, and the international world, that's all they're seeing, if they're not any smarter. Well, the government now can move in on us and do anything they want to and justify. Now, I might be off, but that's been my fear for a long time.
But on the other hand, do you respect the argument that, look, it's a free world, this is entertainment, this is considered entertainment, a lot of money has been pumped into the production of these programs, so why should they not have a full advantage of their constitutional right to produce these kinds of programs and disseminate them as widely as possible? It's making money. It's employing people. You know the arguments. What is your counter to such arguments?
I'm looking at it from a different perspective. I'm looking at it from the oppressed, not the oppressor. I can see the oppressor's side. Yes, he's making money. That's why we're having all these wars. Yes, he's making money. Yes, he's doing this, that, and other. But I'm, from my side, I'm saying you are killing me. And it's up to me to get myself out of this position. That's why I see it. I cannot accept the fact that yes, you have every right to make money. Well, then, in other words, I'm saying you have every right to oppress me, because that's what's happening. Then I turn around and say, well, what's my responsibility? That's just how I see it. My responsibility is to beat back oppression, and beating back oppression means beating back whatever you do.
Now, why would you call this oppression?
It's a part of it, because that's all it leads to. What it's doing is disarming us and exploiting us. That's all it's doing. And until people raise up, and I can't tell you how they're going to raise up. It may be that the pain has to be so great that you can't escape it. That then you'll finally see what's happening. But it's oppression for a reason that it's bringing pain on us. It's keeping us in a state of servitude. We have no power. We have no power. It is right now because we refuse to unify, and this causes more confusion among us to unify. You're gonna look and say, oh well, look, they making it. They acting a fool, you know. Oh, he's doing pretty good, and he was a comedian in class. You know what I'm saying? So it's throwing all kind of confusion among us, people who are confused already anyway.
All right. Thank you so much, Donald, for your contribution today. Bill from Mount Vernon, you're up next.
Yeah,
what are you thinking about the situation?
Oh, I'm thinking that it's quite all right. Matter of fact, it's a pretty nice, good gig that they have going there. I mean, we go out there, we get all these degrees and all these things like that. We can barely make a living. You got automatics. You can't make a living. I mean, there's so many people out there who are being squished out, pushed out in the whole thing. So some folks are getting over. Look at the example. We have Donald Trump in the White House, complete buffoon, getting over. Who does he hire to put in charge of housing? A certified top doctor. Who's in charge of our schools? A person who never, I'm sure, got a degree beyond a BA if she has that. I mean, the whole thing is a bunch of folly. Everybody's playing games with it. The bankers are thieves. The politicians, we all know, are thieves. So who's making an honest dollar? We find that the big businesses, the corporations, they make cars that kill us. You know, and then they pay a little bit of money, get away with it. They flood our waters with all sorts of environmentally unsound things, and then the Republicans go and say, yeah, this stuff is all right for it. I mean, the whole big thing is a joke. So it's get all you can while you can, and let's just be happy they're not showing the other stereotypes of how we can't make a living after they won't hire us.
Well, let me bring you closer to the issue at hand here, which is we have an inordinate amount of attention being given to these kinds of programs. They are making a lot of money. They're gaining a lot of audience share. The issues that are being, quote, followed in these programs are usually involve conflict, usually involve some kind of, I mean, really base behavior. People unable, these are educated people, unable to resolve their conflicts and unable to live a decent life in the sense that, you know, they have a sense of what matters in the world. What could the impact of such programming possibly be, in your view?
Well, as you pointed out before, the audience are watching what they want. I mean, Donald Trump's people, they voted him in because it's what they want. I can't believe they're all dumb. So they're easy doing it. They're either doing it because of racism, prejudice, whatever. But people do things for the wrong methods. And people go and look for the things that they like for entertainment. They watch baseball, basketball. They don't watch the news programs. So this is something else to watch. It's another comedy for them to watch.
So you think that these programs have a right to exist just as they are and do whatever they think would bring in great, more and more viewers and have a greater audience, which in turn allows them to make greater, a lot more profit through advertising?
Absolutely. I mean, is it more proper that a guy should make $50 million or $1 trillion for throwing a ball through the hoop? None of it makes any sense. I mean, that the teachers make less money than any of these stars. The whole thing is crazy. But the bottom line is these shows reflect our values. They wouldn't last if they didn't reflect the values. And the prejudice in the society, it lasts because people like to hold on to that, to these stereotypes. So we get the kind of environment and society that we promote ourselves. What do you think makes the most money in these hotels? Porno films. They go to watch the porno films in the hotel. They don't go to watch the news programs in the hotels.
Very interesting. Thank you so much for your point
Thank
of view
you.
Today. Thank you, Gary. Sorry, Bill. We're up next with Gary from West Palm Beach.
Hi, Latrice.
What is your view? I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm terrific. Thank you for all that you do and for bringing light to us. A couple things. I totally agree with the caller two calls ago, and I do not think that you're making too much of this. I draw an analogy between something Malcolm said in the current situation. Malcolm X once said that only a fool would allow his enemy to educate his child. And I think that the analogy is that the ones that control your image control your destiny. And when you talk about the media, you're talking about managing the image, not only how we see ourselves and the values that we develop and reinforce and act on, but also how other people from other communities think of us and how they shape their perceptions of us and also their strategies and methods for dealing with us. And that's what I think the danger is in the promotion of these kind of programming. One of the things that I didn't hear discussed was the issue of ownership of the media outlets. I know that when BET was sold, that was sold to, I believe it was Viacom. And I thought it was interesting that when Bill Cosby, I believe, was trying to control NBC, you know, a lot of issues were unearthed later on, not only about his personal life, but it was a tragic event with his son. I don't know if any of those are related. I just found it kind of interesting.
What do you say to the argument that this is a world of entertainment and people will have to give some kind of leeway and license for the providers of such an entertainment to do what they need to do? It is protected by the First Amendment, and a lot of money is being sunk into these productions. People are being paid very well. So what could possibly be your complaint? Why are you so distressed about it?
Well, as I mentioned, I don't think the people who are managing our image have our best interest at heart. And I think that it puts us at peril, not only how we shape our thoughts, how our children come to perceive proper models for their behavior, but also how the outside communities, because these things, I don't think they are shown only here in the United States. I think these things are farmed out internationally. And
yes.
We don't have, as a community, there's too much wealth in our community to allow this to happen. We don't have the luxury of buying into that concept that, oh, it's, you know, free speech, and if you got the money, you do what we want. We are a people that are under duress, under attack, and quite vulnerable. So we really have to step up and manage, you know, and do for self, as we were told many, many, many years ago. You know, we have to do for ourselves, control those things, the assets in our communities and the opportunities for employment and, you know, how we are seen by the rest of the world and how we look at each other.
Could you think of an example of what you have seen, an episode, something in an episode that you have seen that illustrates your point?
My point of the fact that
that people,
what do you mean?
It, of the impact of this kind of quote entertainment unquote, when we do not have gatekeepers, or we have a wide open field in which people are sending messages that may or may not be uplifting for the community.
Well, you know, when I see, I mean, there's a current movie out. I haven't seen it. I don't plan to see it. The remake of Superfly, which is an incredible. I saw a trailer on an incredible amount of violence. I think that there are a lot of movies out that promote either violence amongst black people, particularly young black men towards each other, or lewdness, which I think started early on with the videos, the hip hop videos, you know, which I think has also fueled some fashion statements today, you know, with, you know, young women wearing green and red and pink hair and being scantily dressed, you know. So, and just walking, frankly, down the street of Harlem and hearing, you know, some of the language used between people describing issues in their personal lives and how they talk to their children and, you know, the the, you know, I came up from in a time in the 70s as a black man. When I'd see another black man walking down the street, you know, we greeted each other, you know, how you doing, brother? How you feel? You know, we kind of a supportive, a unifying feeling. Today, young black men look at each other many times, and there's a tremendous amount of anger towards and hostility towards each other, and they don't even know each other. You know, so I think that we have been taught, our young men especially, that your enemy is somebody that looks just like you. And he's the person that you should be fighting and destroying. And I think that's constantly reinforced in a lot of these movies that have tremendous violence that we inflict on each other.
If you were to recommend something, let's say to this genre of entertainment, the television reality series, and there are many of them involving almost all black world, what would you recommend? One thing that you could say that they ought to reconsider, because they are having such inordinate negative impact.
You mean as far as programming?
As in terms of what they can do to lift, because we have discussed in this short time quite a bit of, we have had quite a bit of criticism. What would you offer as something, as an advice to these, the producers of this kind of entertainment that you think might help get a different message across?
Well, for the most part, Latrice, I don't think the producers of this current, most of this current content are the people that are going to solve this problem. I think that we need a new crop of you know, entrepreneurs from our community, because the wealth is there that will control our imaging. I mean, I've seen some movies, of course, that were very uplift. The one that immediately came to mind as you were asking that question was Aquila and the Bee. You know, we need more programming that shows our ability to really distinguish ourselves. And, I'm sorry?
Hello? I'm listening.
Yeah, gives us the opportunity to distinguish ourselves in an exemplary way. You know, those are the kinds of things. But, you know, sometimes I feel very pessimistic, and I think we're so far down the rabbit hole. I question what it's going to really take to turn things around, because there's so many deeply entrenched negative ideas within our community about ourselves that are being passed on generationally to our children, aside from the fact that, you know, many of our children are not being educated and prepared to sustain themselves. So it's a very difficult situation.
Thank you, Gary, for your thoughts today. Thanks for offering them. Gwen from New York, what have you to say?
Hi, how are you? What I have to say is, geez, why didn't you talk about this long time ago? It's very important, very important. And I thought I was the only one that was thinking about this. So therefore, I don't have a cable on my TV, because that's a bunch of crap and I'm not paying $200 a month for it. But when I go to my parents' house, I see a lot of this stuff. And I think one of the things you said, I just wanted to clarify this. It is so much tremendously cheaper to make a reality show than to have a regular sitcom on, because they don't have to pay anybody to write anymore. So the stations are making tremendous amounts of money by just letting people, you know, wander on and kind of do whatever they want and exploit it. So I think that's one of the things that encourages them to keep doing this. It's just like pure laziness. It's just easier and makes more money. And I also think that there's a show for everyone. It's not just black shows or white shows or Hispanics. There's one for every group. And the reason why there's one for every group is because it's a dumbing down of the entire nation. Everybody is going to get dumbed down. Okay. So, you know, there's a size for everybody. There's a, you know, a size for everybody. And it's one thing I wanted to tell you though, is that I did notice this time is that, as I flipped, I noticed that a lot of TV shows have disappeared. So a lot of them, I think people just got bored with. And they've disappeared. And so when you, like, when you turn on now, HG channel is not like, you know, I mean, it's a show about, you know, fixing up your house, which I'm sorry. I have a guilty pleasure. I do like it, but there's only one show on and it's on all day long. It's, you know, with this woman and her husband Chip, and I forget her name, and they just play it over and over and over again. So I think a lot of the reality shows have kind of hit the skids, and I think that people are getting bored with them. But I do agree with you that they're here to keep you stupid, but they're also here to make you violent. I mean, I think the worst ones are the cop shows where you're actually watching, and the prison shows. It's just unbelievable that people could think this is entertainment to watch people in prison. It's like spectator sport at the gladiator races. You know, it's terrible. So I think that, you know, they are very degenerative, and it's really a shame. Like I actually watch, I just have regular TV. I don't pay anything for it, but I like to watch Frasier every night because it was so well written. There were shows on before that were entertaining and they were very well written. And I think a lot of people liked them, but I think, you know, particularly when Bush got in office, there was a huge push to really dumb things down. And that hasn't changed. It's just stayed the way it is. And it is distracting, but on the upside too, I have to say that I work with younger people, like millennials, and it almost seems like they're struggling to even find the right words. But they're looking. They're looking for the reasons why things are the way they are. And I have to say, me too, because my mother was very, very politically active, so I got a lot from her, but I remember when I first moved to New York, the only reason why I found out about WBAI, which ended up being like opening up a huge window for me, was one day I was, you know, running at the park and I was flipping through the radio station. I hear something on about a war in Indonesian, and it sounded really pressing. And I went home and I couldn't find this anywhere on any TV station. It did happen. It's just they didn't cover it. And so my curiosity got more and more. And I, like, there were times where I couldn't even leave the house because when I was listening to BAI, I just couldn't even get away from the radio. It's so interesting. So many interesting shows. There's so much to learn. The same thing with this radio station. This is kind of a baby radio station. It's pretty new and it's very, very interesting. And every day we're getting more and more. So I think there's a lot of people out there that are stumbling and fumbling and looking for something else to do other than to listen to these stupid shows.
But beyond a personal taste, is there mm-hmm. something institutional about this kind of programming that bothers you?
Yeah, it all bothers me. One of the themes in the programs, one of the themes that's crossed the line in all these programs, it's always a competitive edge, and it always gets really nasty. And somebody has to always be put down for the next one to go up. And it has, I think, a lot to do with capitalism and the rawness and the nastiness of capitalism. I mean, we even have, you know, shows for little kids that are cooking, and somebody's got to go home and somebody goes up. And they get really nasty. I mean, let's face it, we're talking about cooking here. We're not talking about, you know, Armageddon. And this is a way of sharpening the already sharp teeth of capitalism. It's a way of pushing people into line. As a matter of fact, you know, sometimes you talk to people and they just blame themselves. I mean, you know, if there's no situations, well, if there's no jobs, it's our fault because, you know, people just aren't out there doing it. And I find a lot of self-blame, and I think that self-blame comes from this pseudo-righteous attitude on TV that tells you if you're not up here, you're down there, and you're down there as of your own doing. You made that happen. So that word loser, it gets, you know, Trump loves to use this word loser. They're all a bunch of losers. It's a really nasty thing to say, and it's very harsh. And there seems to be that kind of line all the way through these things. There's winners and there's losers, and you sure as hell don't want to be a loser. So that's something else, which I also think makes us be a lot less compassionate to other people. You know, it's their fault. We can see
as I'm imagining that you're a white person.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My husband was black. And we had we had a dynamic in our house.
I'm asking, when you watch, and I'm giving you a bit more space than you really should have in answering this question, because you are an evolved person. You have a broad view and a deep view. But as a white person, as a typical white person, if you can say that, watching these programs in which blacks are at the center of attention, what do you think
now
they come away with as an impression?
Oh, God. Justification for prejudice. And I just want to add one more thing to this, okay? Because this really bothers me. And I used to say it to my husband was a connoisseur of film.
So closing quickly.
Okay. Just want to say that I can't understand, with all of the interesting stories that could be made about black culture, that the only crap you see is Big Mama's Family all the time. These stupid movies with these, you know, one after the other coming at you with stupidity. As if, you know, if you're a black person, you must not have a brain in your head, so we've got to give you this, you know, baby food to watch all the time. They're always stupid. I mean, maybe the first two times it was funny, but it's not funny after a while. It's humiliating. And there's so many interesting stories when it comes to slavery, and I want to bring this up because I want to tell you there's a lot of people that don't know a lot about it.
Out of time. I'm so sorry, Gwen. We have to cut and run. Thanks so much for listening today and contributing. This is perhaps the first foray we have made into this arena. It won't be the last. See you tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening today.